Well, good morning. Man, can you believe that we are a week away from Christmas? That is, that's a bit scary for me. I know some people, only G and one other person still got shopping to do. My shop is done. Of course, my wife did it, so I didn't have to shop. So. All right, it is, it's good to be with you guys this morning. We have been working through the Advent season. We, again, go back to the Advent candle, and we started our journey off with a sermon on hope, reminded of the hope that God brings to us through the birth of His Son. And then we went into love, and we looked at love, the kind of love that God brings, right? Last week, we talked about joy. Anybody have to plug your Christianity up this week? Look for leaks. Because your joy was lacking? Come on. Let's be honest, right? All right, I'll just be honest, right? I had some leaks in my faith this week. I had to plug up, right? And so this week we are talking about peace, right? And I know that this, at least to me, I think more than any time in our world, seems to be very impactful to me. Because we don't got a lot of peace happening in our world right now, amen? But in Luke's gospel, I want to read to you, and we read, I think, out of this last week, but I want to continue on to the end part of it, starting at the, the 8th verse, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will be great joy for all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find the baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." And so this week we light the peace candle. And we are just one service away from lighting that middle candle. And so this morning we're going to talk about peace. And as I said, you know, we look around our world, you don't have to turn the news on for very long to feel your peace disturbed, amen? Right? And we have the understanding, most of us in this room, if you're just asked the question about peace, you would say that peace is like tranquility, the absence of conflict, right? Everything is going great in my life, right? Everything is peaceful, the shopping's done, the cookies are baked, right? We're good to go, right? So everybody in this room is all peaceful feeling, right? Amen. So, it's interesting to see that. You know, we know that the Bible talks about peace a lot, but before we get there, I want to show you a couple opinions of some people that I looked at this week studying and searching what other people had to say about peace. And so let me just read you a few quotes from other people. This person says, "For me, peace is happiness. For me, peace is people knowing how to deal with conflict, to pick the opportunity from it, and to grow to another level of being. Peace is love. Peace is loving not only people that you know who are close to you, but releasing love and compassion to all those around you, the universe, and loving the life of the universe." Right? Another person said, "Peace is building relationships in my community, developing young people where people can live together peacefully without any violence. This is peace for me." I'll read one more. "Peace is to live in harmony, to live without fear, fear that someone may harm you or kill you. Globally, peace is to live in cohesion across society and to have the freedom to fully be yourself without taking over the identity or freedom of anyone else." Those are all great ideas about peace, right? And there's, you know, it's nice to hear those, but we get confused when we think about peace, right? What do we know about peace? We know, speaking specifically at Christmas time, we know the verses, right? Isaiah 9:6, that he would be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, right? The verse we just read, right? That unto you glory on earth to those with whom God is pleased, and peace to you, right? God's going to bring peace to you. And right, just like the people in those days heard that, we hear that, and we automatically think the absence of conflict. Man, he's going to come, and he's going to bring peace on earth, and we're all going to hold hands, and we're all going to sing kumbaya, and it's going to be great, right? And yet, we turn our TV on, and it's not. Amen? We live in a world that, if anything, we look at the world and we see no peace, right? And so, why is that? Well, there's the one thing is inner conflict, right? When we think of peace, and as most people think of peace, we think of inner conflict. People the world over are struggling with doubts, with fears, with uncertainty. They are in need of inner peace. Mental health professionals will tell us that Christmas time is the time for peace on earth. But they would tell us that this is the most depressing time for most people of the whole year. People have these inner conflicts going on. Why is it that people turn to alcohol? Why is it that people turn to drugs? Listen, nobody is born an alcoholic or a drug addict. They go searching for something. You know what they go searching for? They're searching for peace. They're searching for the absence of conflict in their lives. So if this drug shot up in my arm, takes that away for even 5 minutes, some people are so desperate for peace, they're willing to do that. If I can't find it anywhere else, maybe I can find it at the bottom of this bottle, even if it's just temporary. That's the depths that we go to looking for peace. It's not just inner conflict, but then there's interpersonal conflict. So that's the conflict that we have with each other. People struggle against other people. There are family conflicts, right? We're getting ready to have Christmas. We're going to be dinners together. We're going to have lots of people over, right? Who's got people coming to your house, right? Right? Ain't going to be no inner conflict, right? It's going to be wonderful, right? We get together, right? Because we're people, we bring our stuff with us, amen? And so just be prepared. There may be some inner conflict in your Christmas gatherings, right? Maybe it's with coworkers. Maybe it's with neighbors. Where we see a lot of inner conflict is where? Let me just see if anybody can guess it. Somebody said it. Social media, right? Oh, my goodness. Everybody's got an opinion, and everybody's going to share it, and we're going to beat you down until you follow like we do, right? So there's tons. You don't have to go through two or three posts on Facebook and you see inner conflict happening, right? Most certainly, we live in the COVID era. That brings inner conflict. The vaccine, Republicans, Democrats, crime, racism, abuse, these all are everyday occurrences. And during this season of peace and goodwill, we often disappoint each other. We often fail to meet each other's needs and expectations. And spending time in close quarters this coming week with your family, I'm sure that we'll see that. So then there's international conflict, right? Which most of us don't have any control over. But the term peace on earth to most people means international peace. There is always this threat of war that looms over the world. Look at the birthplace of the Prince of Peace. It is the least peaceful place on the planet, right? There's always conflict there. And then we come to this passage in Matthew, right? We've heard he's going to be the Prince of Peace. We heard that he's going to bring peace to the earth. But what did Jesus say? Well, if you have a Bible or your iPhone or your iPad or whatever it is that you're looking at the scripture on, flip over to Matthew 10. And let's look at what Jesus said about himself and about peace. And what did he say? Verse 34 of chapter 10. Don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. Right? So, what the heck, man? Now I'm really confused, right? The Bible said he was supposed to be the Prince of Peace, but he himself is saying, I didn't come to bring peace. What's Jesus saying here? Jesus was making a very valid point here. He was saying, if you are going to have peace, it's only found in me, and you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice with me. I can't be left aside to think, well, may I'll handle that later. No, when it comes to Jesus, everybody in this room, every one of us, has to make a choice on what we're going to do with him. God's peace has not failed, right? Jesus came to bring peace on the earth, but it's not like we think. We think the absence of conflict. What Jesus came to do was to bring peace between us and God. Amen? Because to that point, we were enemies of God. And Jesus separated time and space and came into our world that night to bring peace on earth, but not peace like everybody thought. It was peace between man and God, because all the way back from Genesis 3, we had broken God's covenant. We had sinned and disobeyed God and followed our own way. And you see it all through the Old Testament, right? And over and over and over again, we see God's patience and God's mercy and God's love and the hope, right, of this coming Messiah who was going to make everything right. And everybody was hanging their hopes on him. And he steps into the world and he says, I didn't come to bring the peace that you thought I came to bring. I didn't come to bring world peace. I came to bring you peace between you and God. Because that is what you and I need most desperately, right? And I love the fact of this passage in Luke's gospel that he says that. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby guarding their flocks of sheep when suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them, right? Shepherds, they were the lowest of the low, right? They were the garbage men of their day, right? Hopefully there's nobody as a garbage man here. I don't mean to offend you. Just this is a job that nobody wanted. Right? Nobody grew up saying, man, I'm going to be a shepherd. Woohoo! Right? No, you just became a shepherd, right? And these guys are out there in the field guarding their flock that night. Imagine that. 2,000 years, put your mind in the mind of a shepherd 2,000 years ago. There was no fancy lights. There was no power grid, right? And all of a sudden, the whole sky lights up. The appearance of this angel. And he says to them, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They had never seen the Lord's glory, but now they're looking at one who has looked into the face of God. And it says, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. Well, you can imagine that they would be, right? And he said, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will be of great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, the one you have heard about, the one you have anticipated, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you'll recognize him by this sign. You will find the baby wrapped snugly in fancy cloth, laying in this beautiful crib, right? No. Does your Bible say that? Does your translation say that? Neither does mine, right? Says he'll be wrapped in snugly in strips of linen, and he'll be found to be lying in a manger, basically a feeding trough. Why? Why? How in the world would the King of Kings and God's only Son come to that humble a place? Because God was humbling himself. Really, in my opinion, God's humbling himself to show us that the lowest person can come to me. I'm not a king that's high and lifted up. That was the problem with the Jews. They saw the grandiose of who God was. He was so big and so amazing that you couldn't even hardly approach him, that at times they wouldn't even write his name for fear, right? They wouldn't even pronounce his name. But yet God shows up to these humble shepherds, these nobodies of nobodies, and reveals to them the gospel. Right? This is what they got. The gospel. Good news. Great joy. A Savior has been born to you today. Right? And he will bring you peace. This Savior. Glory to God. Not only did that one angel show up, but then imagine that. Just one. I think, and all of us would be on our face here today, right? But then the sky opens up and thousands upon thousands of angels light up the sky night. And they sing glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Finally, peace had come to earth. I mean, he wouldn't say that if in the Old Testament peace had not come, right? Peace had not come. But he's saying now, peace has come. The Savior, the Messiah, he has been born to you, the shepherds, right? The nobody of nobodies. He's come to you. He's accessible to all people. Here's the greatest thing, I think. I don't know each person in this room individually. I haven't had the opportunity to sit down and really have deep conversations with each person in this room. And it's not really possible for me to. But I can tell you this. God has answered your greatest need. Do you know that? Now, I'm not talking about the need you think you have. I'm talking about the greatest need that each one of us in this room have. God has answered it and fixed it. We needed a Savior. You and I needed a Savior. We were children of wrath, right? We were like kids playing on the train tracks, and the freight train was coming. And we had no idea until somebody spoke the gospel to us and opened our eyes to see God for who he is and to see ourselves for who we were, right? What does the Bible say? The Bible says that we were enemies of God, right? But we've been reconciled through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that all happened by him coming to this world. By Jesus coming into this world, he fixed our greatest need. Man, I'm just give you another run at that, because that should cause you to be excited, all right? So we'll just go back a little bit, right? By Jesus coming into this world, he fixed our greatest need. Amen? That was still really weak, but we're just going to roll with it, all right? Because we got stuff to do today, all right? He fixed our greatest need. He fixed my greatest need. What did Jesus tell us? I love what he says in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. He reminded us not to let our hearts be troubled. I love John's gospel, but in John 14, 27, Jesus says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I leave is a gift that the world cannot give to you. Do you hear me? Listen to what Jesus said. The peace I'm going to give you is a peace that the world cannot give to you. So don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. Right? You jump over to John 16, 33, and what does he say? I have said all these things to you so that you may have peace where? In the world? No, you may have peace in me. Right? For in this life, Jesus said, you will have many trials and sorrows. Right? No amens on that, right? In this life, you'll have many trials and sorrows. But take hope in me. I overcame the world, right? It's this vertical peace that God wants to bring to us. This peace comes in lots of different ways. We see in Philippians that Paul reminds us that this peace comes through prayer. Maybe you're like, what? Yes. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Listen to what he says. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, right? Anybody got some stuff going on in your life today? You don't have to raise your hand, but you got some stuff going on in your life today that you don't know what to do? It's disturbing your peace? Have you gotten alone with God? Have you told God about it? Maybe you got on social media and told the whole world about it, right? Maybe you called your best friend, told them about it. But the question lies, did you get alone with God and talk to the one who can actually do something about it? Listen to what he says. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done for you. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus, right? Not just as you continue to live for yourself in any old way you want to, but as you continue to follow Jesus, his peace will guard your hearts and your minds no matter what comes. Amen? That's the peace of Christ. That's the peace that Christ came to give. Again, this vertical peace between us and God. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us," what? "Peace. And with his wounds we were healed." Jesus is our peace. And I love Isaiah 26:3. It says that God, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, or whose mind is fixed on you. And I love it because even in studying it this week, I come to find out that that word perfect, because I was like, you know, I get into what does that word mean? How does that affect this verse? And so like, what does he mean by perfect peace? And I came to find out it's really, they translate it perfect. I don't know why we translate that into English, but the word is the same as peace. It's shalom. So in other words, Isaiah some says, "I came to give you shalom, shalom. Peace, peace." Right? The only the peace that God can bring. Right? So how do we get peace in our life? By fixing our minds on him. Right? "I came to give you perfect peace to all those who would fix their minds on him." That's this vertical peace. That's the peace that you and I need, right? And listen, out of the overflow of this peace that we have between us and God comes a horizontal peace, sometimes between us and people. Now, not always, right? Because we know that Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trials and many sorrows, right? And we're going to have conflicts. We're going to have inner conflict with people around us. But, man, if we have received this peace between us and God, man, doesn't that affect everything that we've been talking about? If we've got inner peace with God, it affects our hope, right? It affects our joy. It affects our love for other people, right? When you have experienced the love of God for yourself and you have received that inner peace that only could be made between you and God through Christ, don't you learn how to be a little more tolerant and a little more patient with other people? Because we're reminded that we used to be that way. Amen? Maybe you're not, but I am, right? Sometimes I'm reminded I was like that just yesterday, right? Listen to what Romans 12 tells us. Starting at verse 8. Starting in verse 9. He says, "Don't just pretend to love others, but really love them," Paul says. "Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard to serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality." Listen, he keeps going on. "Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God would bless them. Be happy with those who are happy. Weep with those who are weep. Live in harmony with each other. And don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think that you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you're honorable. Do all that you can," listen, "to live at peace with everyone." Right? And man, if we have experienced this grace and this mercy that comes down from God through his son, Jesus Christ, it affects our hope, joy, love, and peace. And that passage shows how we're supposed to live that out. Don't think too great of yourself. Right? Don't be afraid to show hospitality. Love each other. Yes, even those who persecute you. Even those who rub you the wrong way. Even those who you disagree with. Because we once were like those people. Once we didn't know the peace of Christ. And so we are called to live this out. Don't, when you look at this world today, brothers and sisters, don't let your hearts be troubled. But take hope in Him, right? Take hope in Him as He has affected you and I personally and fixed our greatest need, which is a right relationship with God. He stood in our place, removing the wrath of God that was coming toward us. And now we receive His grace and His mercy and His love and His pardon and forgiveness. And now we are called as the body of Christ to be that to other people, to be the hands and feet of Christ, to show them, to point them to the only one who can give them true peace. Man, I'm just overwhelmed. I deal with this all the time in my job. And trust me, overdoses have picked up at work this coming month. And all those people are just people looking for peace. They're looking somewhere in their life they've been hurt. Something has happened in them. And now they're trying to find peace in pushing drugs in their arms. Sometimes we're trying to find peace by certain relationships. And I'm just telling you, brothers and sisters, you'll never find the peace that you're looking for except for in Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can fill that void in our life. We say it in the church all the time, you got this God-shaped hole in your heart. No, you just got no peace. You got no real peace until Jesus is your King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there's a lot of people out there that want the perks of the kingdom, but they don't want the King, right? And you can't get the perks of the kingdom without the King. Remember that. Don't be discouraged. Jesus is coming again. Listen to the promise of peace. The Lord, I love this at Isaiah 2:4. Will there ever be peace on earth? Well, this is what Isaiah said. The Lord will mediate between nations and will settle international disputes, and they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And will no longer fight against nation, will no longer fight against nation, nor train for war anymore. Isaiah 2:4, right? Now, that is coming only when the King of Kings returns again, right? That's when we'll have peace on this earth, right? When He establishes everything again, anew, right? Heaven, eternity with Him, no more tears, no more sickness, no more pain, right? Peace with God, peace with our brothers and sisters, right? And that's what we're longing for. And it's not, I'm not trying to be a killjoy. You're not going to find that on this side of eternity. It's just not going to happen, right? But our hope and our joy is set upon the peace that He's bringing, right? And upon the peace that He brought to us, that even while we're in this world that's flipped upside down and unpeaceful, that we can live as people of peace and we can point other people to the only hope, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray as the worship team comes up, or as I guess, well, let's just pray. I think then you're going to come up. So, or whatever. Right? All right, let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we just come into Your presence today, Lord. And in a world marked by trouble and fear and chaos, we turn to You for our peace. It's in You and You alone that we find peace, O God. You said if we fixed our minds on You, that You would keep us in perfect peace. You said that we could come into You with prayer and thanksgiving, and that You would give us peace that passes all understanding. You promised the gift of the Holy Spirit to be our comforter and our counselor. You said to us, do not let your hearts be troubled. For in this world you may have many trials and sorrows, but You overcame the world, and we're to have peace in You. Our peace doesn't come from the world, it comes from You, the one who overcame the world, death, and the devil. So today, Father, we ask that You would give us Your peace, Lord. Peace with You. I ask that those who are here today who don't know that peace, that today would be the day for them. Oh, Father, help us to keep our eyes fixed upon You, that no matter what this world throws at us, that our peace can never be shaken. Thank You for the peace that You've given us. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus. And thank You for the grace and mercy that you poured upon our lives. And it's in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen.